As long as
I am engaged in the matter of killing Vishnu.
Ayata.
Ayata.
Go.
Go.
Bhuvam.
Bhuvam.
To the planet Earth.
To the planet Earth.
Yuyam.
Yuyam.
All of you.
All of you.
Brahmakshatra.
Brahmakshatra.
Of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas.
Of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas.
Sameedita.
Sameedita.
Made prosperous by the activities. Brahminical culture and Vedic government.
Sudhyadvam.
Just destroy.
Tapaha.
The performance of austerities.
Yajna.
Sacrifices.
Sacrifices.
Swadhyaya.
Swadhyaya.
Study of Vedic knowledge. Vrata.
Vrata.
The Rekhaninaha. And those giving charity. So, translation. While I'm engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth, and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 13, Chaturvarnyam mayash vrishtam guna karma vivaga shaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets, there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth duty of the Brahmanas is to cultivate samaha, peacefulness, namaha, self-control, tatikshva, tolerance, sacham, truthfulness, sacham, cleanliness, and arjavam, simplicity. And then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas should engage the populace in austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to culture. People are inclined to offer yajna, because unless sacrifices are offered, there will be insufficient rain, yajyad bhavati parjanyaha, which will hamper agricultural activities, parjanyaha dana sambhavaha, by introducing Brahminical culture. Therefore, a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas, and giving charity. Thus, the people will receive their necessities for life very easily, and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 3rd chapter, text 12, Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yajna bhavitko tairdatanna pratayayabhyo yobungte stena hiva saha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied with the performance of yajna sacrifice, supply all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand that what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yogas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yogas known as Pancha Maha Yoga are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Consider, for example, all the eatables of human society, fruits, vegetables, milk, and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians, such as meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take, for example, heat, light, water, and air, which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, or breeze. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with a purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yogas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yogas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yoga, namely the Sankirtana Yoga, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill all the inhabitants of the earth, or to kill the inhabitants of the earth, so that yoga would stop and the demigods being disturbed would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yageshvara, was killed. These were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities. So, again, Tavadyatta Bhavam Yuyam Brahmakshatra Same Ditam Sudhyadvam Tapo Yagya Swadhyaya Vratadaninaha Omagana Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this Varnashram system in the discussion between Ramananda Roy was acting as the professor and Lord Chaitanya was acting. And so first Ramananda Roy said, Varnashram. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that's simply material. However, Prabhupada had an interesting comment in that regard. He said, Lord Chaitanya was nirapeksha. Nirapeksha means that certain aspects of sannyasi pastimes that indicated that he was completely detached from this world and not so much interested in the organization of this world. He was simply interested in getting people to chant Hare Krishna and go back to home, back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said that he was interested in Varnashram, and he said, and you've all heard this quote, that 50% of his mission was not accomplished because he had not instituted Varnashram. Now, Prabhupada said that for a variety of reasons. First of all, stimulated Prabhupada to say that was that he was seeing that many of his followers were not able to continue practicing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada initiated something like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And then, Prabhupada was seeing many of them were dropping like flies, that expression, dropping like flies. And Prabhupada thought, what's happening here? They made a promise, and they're not keeping their promises, because nowadays, just like we were talking last night, one of the questions was raised, you know, why so many marriages are breaking up? Because people don't take seriously their promises. Keeping promises means hard work. It's like one promises to chant 16 rounds a day for the rest of his life. You know, it's easy the first month, two, three, you know, when you're a young brahmachari. But then, you know, things tend to mound up, like someone gets married, and then there's the three B's. What do you know what the three B's are? Babies, bills, and business. So, three regulated principles. Anyways, bills, you know what bills are? You got to pay something. Babies, you know what babies are? And business. Anyway, so three B's, you can remember that's a humorous thing. Anyway, so then it becomes difficult. Boy, when I was a brahmachari, it was easy because all I did was wake up in the morning and chant, and food was already there. I just rolled over, and you know, somehow, you know, the temple president, whoever it was, you know, provided food, paid the electric bills, paid, you know, whatever. You know, running a temple is expensive. You know, actually, to run a temple, the minimum usually is about $1,000 a day. You know, you may think it's cheap, you know, just see everybody in the temple, but, you know, you got the deities, you know, probably deity expenses, like in the temple in North Sydney, are probably anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000 for the year, just taking care of the deities. So anyway, so the temple president's doing all these things, and the brahmachari is sitting there just like, this is easy, you know, easy life. Hare Krishna, Gauranga, like that. Let's go on, Sankirtan, you know, Hare Krishna. And then he gets married, he gets interested in some brahmacharini in the temple or whatever. And then he gets married, and in the beginning it's easy because it's just both of them have jobs and there's a lot of money. And then after that, wife gets pregnant, she can't work anymore, and he has to work, and then they need a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house. And then it's hard to get the rounds done then. So it takes a lot of determination. In other words, one has to be determined. Or, you know, like the example we gave last night, you know, two people get married. Oh, it's like romance. This is your Radha and I'm Krishna. I mean, there was one man that came to me in Brisbane, you know, he was offering dandabats and rolling on the ground. And I just, well, he has so much devotion. And then he says, Guruji, I have one request. Can you find me a Radha? I said, oh my God. This is really like illustration of Krishna's verse. You know, people approach him for various reasons. So, you know, as a guru, you get all these requests, you know. Can you find me a Radha? And then the women are saying, can you find me a Krishna? You can't believe how many requests I get like that. Usually it's not the person directly, usually it's the parents. Can you find my daughter, Krishna? Again? So the guru has to become like a marriage agency, basically. So anyway, so in the beginning it's like Radha and Krishna. And after a while, you know, it's hard work. So one has to work hard in a relationship to keep the relationship. And you know, I deal with this all the time, you know, even this morning I got some emails from people, you know, my husband's in the United States, what should I do? I said, you better go back to the United States. So, I mean, we're enjoying life, everyone loves me, but I love my husband, what am I going to do? I said, you better go back, you know, just seek some counsel. Things take hard work, you know, when you make a promise or things like that. So, Kali Yuga, it's not like this. So Prabhupada, getting back to the point, so Prabhupada was shocked when people didn't keep their promises. Prabhupada was shocked when his disciples were growing hippie seeds. You know what hippie seeds are? Hair. Like Prabhupada was saying, hello, hippie seeds. I agree with that. And Prabhupada was under his breath, probably. So Prabhupada was really, you know, tolerant, but he was shocked at the devotees, you know, how they would join so quickly and then, you know, like a revolving door. You know, you go in and you go out. And so Prabhupada thought, well, we need Varnashram. So to present a fallback position for people, you know, we can't really, not that people are going to all be Brahmins. In the beginning, Prabhupada initiated so many people as Brahmins, you know, which is described here. I was just thinking, you know, but because people were not keeping their vows of chanting, then there was this process of Purnam Rushika Bhava. You know what that is, Keshu? What is Purnam Rushika? Purnam, what does Purnam mean? Purna. Not Purna. Purna. Punar. Punar. Not Purna. Punar.
Again.
Again. Mushika. What is a Mushika? Again become a mouse? No? Okay, I'll tell it real quickly. So once upon a time, there was a Brahmin. The Brahmin was chanting his japa very, very nicely. And there was a mouse there. The mouse came up to him and said, "Help, help." And Brahmin said, "What's the problem?" The mouse said, "There's a cat is chasing me. Become a cat." So he made him a cat. And then the cat came and said, "I help." He said, "Meow, help. I have a dog chasing me." And he said, "Okay, become a dog." And he said, "I have a shabbat, like an eight-legged beast chasing me." You know, you could chew betel, you know, whatever you like. Smoke marijuana, you can do whatever you want if you're pure devotee. No restrictions. But if you're not, you just become what you were before. And what the Western, many of the Western devotees were before was quite despicable or degraded. You know, hippies. So they became hippies again. That's why I probably called hippie seeds when they started growing their hair. Or neglected the regular. But we see that happen. It's not that you expect everybody in the whole world to be, you know, chanting their rounds and doing all that stuff. You know, the majority, and that means that some of them, according to here, will be offering meat to the goddess Kali. So we should train people up to do that now. People chant Hare Krishna one way or the other, then they'll ultimately give it up. But, you know, the worship of the demigods, interesting here in the purport Prabhupada mentions, is not prohibited, but it's for those who cannot understand, accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it's always better to worship something superior. Just like you see, you know, even your aborigines here, which is really important. And so that's why Prabhupada was thinking of establishing Varnashram Society. And of course, Varnashram Society is based not only on discrimination between the different Varnas and the ashrams, of course, but on people actually having the qualities of those particular Varnas and ashrams, not simply by birth, as that verse states, that Prabhupada quotes, "Chatur Varna Mayasur Kam Guna Karma Vibhagasha," that one is known to be of a certain Varna, etc. And so in order to have that, you need, as the leaders of society, of course, the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And in order to have Kshatriyas, let's say, who are properly in charge of the country, the government, whatever, you need them to be, means the people, all the people. Because the problem with being elected by all the people, the present systems we have in, which, you know, us in the third world country, the first world countries, are trying to bring the whole world to that standard. The problem with that is that the majority of people are stupid, or shudras. It's not bad to be stupid if you have a good master. And the shudra, being controlled by the mode of ignorance, doesn't have what we call proper discrimination. He has mundane, let's say, what we would normally consider in the mundane world, intelligence. Yes. He can design a computer. For sure. Not all shudras can. I mean, some shudras just work with cars, you know, whatever. But yet he may be, like, really up there, PhD. But he doesn't have the discrimination as to what is right and what is wrong. You know, like we have this. Of course, the description about demons is generally Pravatim Cha, Nivatim Cha. The demon doesn't know what is right or wrong. But also the shudra doesn't know what is right or wrong. He needs guidance. So if you give the shudras the right to vote, you're in trouble. Because they will vote for the wrong reason, not for the good of the planet. Just like you see now in America, I always use this example, that they voted for someone who is against protecting Mother Earth. You know, is really withdrawing America from all these different treaties in which, you know, trying to minimize the carbon dioxide and other global warming gases. And just doesn't care. Just cares about immediate gratification. You know, how much can we get the stock market to go up today or, you know, the next week or, you know, while I'm in office? You know, how much money can we make during this period? So that's Shudra. Shudra is like, now. Like a dog. Like if a dog comes to you or comes to something, dog will either is interested in food or passing urine or having sex with another dog. I mean, that's it. Or playing, you know. Nothing really. Sit down and chant Hare Krishna. So the Shudra is like a dog. An educated dog. A dog with a PhD. Not necessarily, but, you know, that's a Shudra. So these Shudras, they vote, and you see the result of their voting. But it's not that the kings were like the kings in Europe who were just like hereditary kings, like Henry VIII or some, ending necessarily a kingly system. We are recommending a system in which Brahmins pick the leader. In other words, they'll pick the leader based upon the qualities of a particular leader, whether we're talking about a king in the monarchy or president or prime minister or what have you. It would be always the Brahmanas who would pick the leaders. And the Brahmanas are people who have no ulterior purpose. You know what we call conflict of interest? Nowadays, oh my God, the leaders of society, because I just know America, the leaders of society, whether in America we're talking about the senators or Congress or whatever it is, they're actually voting upon based on their own interests, whether, you know, they can get elected or not elected, or they can get tons of money to pay for their campaign. I mean, they're more concerned about that than what's right or wrong. Whereas a Brahmana, he's concerned with what's right or wrong. Like, of course, the typical example Prabhupada gives is Chanakya Pandit. When he was advising Maharaj Chandragupta, he disagreed with him one time, and he just walked out the door because he wasn't getting a salary. You know, when you get a salary, it's just you become like a dancing dog, you know. Isn't it? I'm not saying that we shouldn't work for salary, but you have to just, like, agree with your boss. Yes, boss. The boss says, roll over. Mm-hmm. Beg. Prabhupada said so many people are graduating from the university and they're like dogs looking for a master. Anyway, I understand devotees sometimes have to do that in the material world. I'm not criticizing. But basically the politicians, when the leaders get to that point, fuck it. Because, you know, he had no problems, you know. He wasn't running for election again. He wasn't worried about money. You know, when you die, you're not too worried about money. So he had no interest. But, you know, there's conflicts of interest. So in order to have the proper Varnashram culture, you need the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. And if the Kshatriyas don't behave themselves, the Brahmanas have the right and the power to depose the king. You know, revolution, coup. Just like in Fiji, you had your coups, but the prime ministers or whatever, it was the Shudras. Mm-hmm. Proof of that was they go in the street and just like wreck all the stores, you know. Huh? So in order to keep the Shudras happy, you have to throw them a bone. In other words, you give them money. Mm-hmm. Oh, money for this, money for that. Okay, we like that. President, prime minister, whatever, like that. So, yes, but coup d'etats are part of Vedic culture. Not that they went in and, you know, shot him or like nowadays sometimes people send some poison in the mail. This castor oil, was that Ricin or something? How do they pronounce it? R-I-C-I-N. It's one of the most poisonous things. There's castor beans, you know, they make... Anyway, you don't know. Better you don't know. So, or like in America we've had people shot. You know. Did you ever have anyone shot here? Any prime ministers? No, there's no guns here.
We have guns.
Yeah. House of the average. So, so the Brahmanas had the right, but they had to be real Brahmanas. Nothing in it for themselves. They could never take the position themselves. All they could do was be the advisor of the king. And you find in the Mahabharata, you find that Yudhisthira Maharaj and all of the kings, that they had their Brahmin advisors. Passed away many, many years ago. But his present representatives are doing a pretty good job of carrying out his orders. So any questions? I mean, the earth is a mess. The leaders, all of them, I'm not pointing out any of them in particular, I mean, except for the leader in Fiji. He's actually good. Anyway. All right, what's the question?
Maharaj, you mentioned leaders today, mining deals. I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true, but...
Actually, they're discovering right now. There was actually some recent discoveries that something, I forget the exact name of it, where the poles, they shift on a regular basis. They go around and they shift. You understand what I mean?
There's lots of coal coming out of the southern hemisphere,
yeah,
going to the northern.
Yeah, so it creates a little bit of imbalance of the rotation. So even... the scientists are able to measure this because they have laser beams and everything like that, so they're able to see the poles are shifting a little up. Anyone's played with the top before?
Mm-hmm.
You spin it, and it wobbles. So the Earth is wobbling, and it's affecting the Earth's wobbling, yes.
So how does that affect the Earth?
No, not really. I'm just joking. It's happening, yeah. You know, I mean, right now we're experiencing so many earthquakes and other disruptions, you know, mega storms that have been like the storm of the century, the strongest storm ever recorded. I mean, just say even recently, you know, all these countries have been hit by these heavy tornadoes or cyclones. Balance is being disturbed. Yeah, so that's the Prabhupada said that. Oh, comments? Yes.
Sorry, so these... earthquakes, tsunamis, and things, do they happen for a scientific reason, or is it more like a karmic reaction?
Well, I think both. You know, that there's certain forces that cause these things to occur due to scientific reasons, but also there's karma behind the scientific reasons. You know, why do they happen at a certain time, or a certain country? You know, just like you see, cyclone is an entity. And so all of a sudden it was heading right for the temple. The temple's in the middle of the state, and it was going to the coast. And then it... temple. So we... it's true. Because the devotees were chanting, thinking, so when it hit the western side of the state and the eastern side of the state. But not... the center was more or less untouched. We get a little extra rain, nothing substantial. So, because we were chanting... I mean, that's the only reason I can think of. Scientists said that they've never seen a cyclone or hurricane move in that particular fashion. A cyclone, and there's like all these different potential tracks. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. Like there's the European people who do these things, the American people, and then, you know, like it's Australian, and they all have different tracks go all over the place. I think they even call it the spaghetti tracks. Yeah, that's the name of it, spaghetti tracks. Because it looks like spaghetti all over, all over the place. So they're actually unable to, completely predict the path of these cyclones. And they shift. Yeah, it's karma. karma, and also there's scientific explanations, but behind everything there's karma. You know, there's many things that don't have scientific explanations. Like I gave that example, I think I spoke about this the other day, about the rice and the consciousness. Yeah, there's no scientific explanation for that. Maybe quantum mechanics has some explanation. Okay, any other questions?
There was a reference to this term, Panch Mahayagya.
That means five of the Mahayagyas, five Mahayagyas.
What are they? Or what is it?
That's not my field of expertise.
Okay. Is it some sort of sacrifice or something?
Yeah, some sort of sacrifices. Okay. You know, just like if you ask me to do a Ashwamedha, I have absolutely no idea how to do Ashwamedha, you know. I have no idea about these things. Anyway, so Prabhupada here talks about different yagyas recommended in the Vedas. You worship the goddess Kali. Of course, when you do worship the goddess Kali and you sacrifice a goat once a month, you worship, you whisper in the goat's ear, next life you'll get a chance to do this, Mamsa Khadati. So that really discourages you after a while. Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, Western culture is just so hypocritical. Like if you kill a dog and you eat a dog, you go to jail. And if you kill a cow, you can even invite the judge over your house. It's crazy. And then if an animal gets really sick, if you don't kill him, you can go to jail. You know that old?
Yeah.
You know, so-called cruelty laws. You have the SPCA. Yeah. Royal Society. Right? Isn't that what it is? Royal Society? Royal Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And they end up killing more animals. Because what happens is that there are all these stray animals, they take them in, when nobody adopts them, you know what they do? Put them down, or put them to sleep. That sounds very innocuous. You know what the word innocuous means? Like it's... No, I mean the mother puts the child to sleep at night, right? So you use the same expression, and it's not so bad. They don't say, oh, we're going to kill them. You put them down, or put them to sleep. And that's why abortion is described as, you're just choosing free will, you know. Instead of saying, kill. You know, say, well, this is a killing clinic. This is termination. The termination of pregnancy. Isn't that what they usually use here?
Yes.
You're going to terminate your pregnancy. Actually, it's just, but even that word's heavy because, like, reminds me of the Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. You know who that is? That's good. You're educated. but just say, why don't they just say, you know, okay, Mrs. So-and-so, would you like us to kill your baby? That's all. They should just be honest. Use the right term, right? Then they kill their babies. But they don't use the word kill. Isn't it just like the Christians sometimes make a distinction between the word kill and murder? Isn't it? Thou shalt not kill. And I say, well, that means murder. Murder only means human beings. But actually it says kill. But they translate it as murder. Thou shalt not murder. So you change the words and something that is obnoxious actually becomes acceptable. Right? Of course, they do still say, give me a leg. Give me a wing. Ribs? When I was young, it was like that, you know. Oh, what's for dinner tonight? Spare ribs. Those are the ribs of the pig, you know. Ooh. And then certain parts of America, I mean, at least they're honest. They said they sell in the jars, you go into the supermarket, pickled pig's feet. Just like you like pickles. So you buy the jar, all these feet are there. It's considered a delicacy.
Yuck.
Is it like a snack?
You can buy that in the south of the United States, even in all the petrol stations.
Oh, come on.
It's really crazy. People are crazy. And we have a delicacy for dinner tonight, pickled pig's feet.
I think the problem is people don't see animals being killed. Mm. So that is why it's a good thing.
Yeah, the video I sent out to a lot of people.
Yes.
Where, the young girl and boy who said, you know, favorite food is this type of meat and salad, and they just gave her the salad.
Yeah.
And the man said, okay, well, if you want the meat, you know, here's a chicken, and here's a knife.
Yeah.
I'll kill, is that right? And they were freaked out still. Mm. Now, people don't do that connection between something that's alive. You know, to see the live thing. Of course, in Fiji, they do train you up to kill alive. You know, people, devotees have told me when they live on the farms that the father forces them to kill the chicken and the goat. You've seen that, haven't you, in Fiji?
Yeah.
Camps, you know, when you do something one time, two times, three times, you become desensitized to the activity and you just do it. Or in a slaughter.